Good morning. How about that worship? That was amazing. Praise the Lord. I was about ready to just jump through the ceiling. I was so fired up. I don't know if you were, so it's going to be a good day. Hey, listen, I shared this morning in our huddle time with our leaders in the cafe. And in Psalm 107 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." In other words, if God has done something good in your life, you should share that. You should share that. God is good and he's done something in your life, you should share that. And so, hey, we sent a team last week to Buffalo, the Buffalo Dream Center. And representing the Brighton Heights campus was Joy Shear. Yes. And I know Joyce was happy to serve, and you were stretched, and God worked in and through you. And I just want to thank you, Joyce, for giving of your time unto the Lord and serving in such a great way to serve others and serve the Lord with so well. So I wanted to share. If you have questions, I want to share this. Go see Joyce, and she's going to tell you. She shared in our group. So go see her afterwards. So she was excited to share. But listen to these numbers, right? These are actual tangible things that happened at the Buffalo Dream Center. There were 190 people at Kids Club. There were 190 people there. There were 55 salvations. 55 people came to know the Lord. Amen. There were 75 responses for prayer needs. People came forward and just needed to be prayed over. So 75 people were prayed over. 300 plus families were given meals. And over 1,050 bags were packed and prepared in their mobile food pantry. And so there was that was just a snapshot. And I'm sure, Joyce, you have stories and there's so many other things. But it's just one way when you step out in faith, the mission trips, mission opportunities are for a way for God to speak through you and use you. And God also to shape and form you for the good, for his good. Amen. Also, today, we are blessed to have with us, we affectionately call him on the campus, pastors call him Pap. Our founding pastor, Pastor Keith Tusey, is here with us this morning. And like Joyce, he's also going on a mission trip a little further away than Buffalo to the Ukraine. I'm going to ask Pastor Keith to come forward. I'm going to ask those of you that I asked to pray to come forward. And we're going to pray over Pastor Keith. He's going away for a 20-day mission trip. I'm going to have him just briefly share what he's doing, and then the prayer team, we're gonna pray over him as well. So, Pastor Keith, share with us what you're going to be doing in the Ukraine.
Amen. We'll be in the Kharkov region, which is the bombing zone. Over the last 24 months, we've been able to plant 20 churches there working with Ukrainian believers. So in the midst of this chaos, there's a bright light. It's like being in the book of Acts, watching what God is doing there. But cover us in prayer. We're going to be doing 3 pastors' conferences, and we're going to try to visit our team before. We're going to try to get to all 20 of the church plants. In addition to that, we will be launching a church one weekend we're there. We'll bring the whole team together to launch yet another church, church number 21. So we're real excited about that.
So if I could have Wayne and Tom and Melanie come on up, we're going to pray over Pastor Keith. You just stand here in the middle so we can pray over you. I'll just come to you then. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do lift up Pastor Keith. Lord, we thank you for the courage and the boldness that you've placed in this man's heart to lead strongly. But Lord, we just pray that as he goes on this extended time away, 20 days away, Lord, that you would begin to be his strength and weakness. When he gets tired, Lord, that you would just have his team hold up his hands to be able to provide leadership. We pray for those that he's going to be ministering to, Lord. I pray that they are encouraged and strengthened by that presence and that team, Lord, that in this awful situation with this war with Russia, that they can see we're not alone, that you are the king and you are sovereign and you will have your ways. So, Father, we do pray for a blessing. We pray for strength. I lift up Penny as well, as Pastor Keith is away, that you bless Penny and the family in this time. So, Lord, strengthen him, encourage him, equip him for all the things that he needs on this trip, and just bless him with your Holy Spirit and strengthen him. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Keith. Appreciate you, brother. So this is awesome, man. This is it's a great worship, great time for a missions moment. And I'm serious. Go talk to Joyce. Go see her afterward. Let her share some stories with you afterwards. So, hey, listen, we're continuing in our sermon series called What Do I Believe? We've been doing this for a couple months, and we're coming to the end, but we really wanted to focus on the Bible. How many of you have a Bible today? We want you to lift it up, hold up your Bible, or your phone. If you're using your phone, thank you. See that, Matt Dovey? All right. So that's fine. So how many of you have a Bible at your house? You actually have a Bible? How many of you have more than one Bible? How many of your Bibles look like this? Put that slide up there. Or maybe your app says, wake up. You haven't turned on your app in a while. So that's the kind of the challenge we're going to start with, is that the reality is this, is that some of us, we say, I don't like to read. I don't like to study. I'm not that type of person. But we're going to challenge you on that today. We're going to challenge you in on that situation. When I was a kid, my mom would read me Bible stories, and I would love them. And I loved David and Goliath and Daniel in the Lion's Den and all those stories. I'd go to Sunday school. There's a thing called flannel graph. Some of you know what that is. There were puppets back then. Creepy, I know, right? But that's what they showed me. And as I grew older, as I grew up in the church, I started hearing the Bible, and I'm like, man, this is boring. This is boring. This isn't for me. I didn't sign up for this. And so as the older I got, I was like, this book is just, it's just so boring. Look how big that is. I'm not going to be able to read it to cover to cover. But how many of you were like that? That you had that, you saw the Bible, it's just like, that's not for me. Or maybe your Bible still looks like this. It says, read me. But I want to encourage you, blow that dust off and get in there. But the tension is this, is that when we look at God's word, when we look at Scripture, we have to ask that question that many of us wrestle with, whether we say this or not. Can the word of God be trusted? Can the word of God be trusted? And that's what we're wrestling with. So I don't know what your view of the Bible is this morning. Maybe some of you are still searching. And I encourage you, keep searching. Keep asking those great questions. If you're a saint that has been here for a long time and you're like, I've heard it all before, I'm going to challenge you to put that attitude and let that get dusty and start becoming more teachable. But here's what I want to say. Do you understand that the Bible is infallible? In other words, that is trustworthy. The whole work of God's teachings and his truth, it's inerrant, it's absence of error, that it can be trusted on, it can be stood on over time, it can be trusted on. And then, more importantly, as we live our lives in this crazy world, it is God's instructions for you as a believer right here, right now in 2024, how to live your life and to deal with all the fear and anxiety and the things we sang about. We have this love letter from the Lord, and all we need to do is to become teachable and get into his word. And some of us, whatever that attitude toward the Lord is, to his word, that needs to change. Listen, when I became, there was a time for me where that changed. That I want you to see that the word of God is this idea that the word of God is a unified story that leads to Jesus. And when I was a young man, I didn't know that. I just saw a bunch of set of rules, and they were coming down all the things that I wanted to do. I didn't see that Jesus was in the midst of this whole thing, that this was a transformative book, that it's alive and active and ready to do things in my life. We wanted to move this morning, that we see God's word when we think about God's word, that it is more than just information, but it's revelation by the Holy Spirit to move us to transformation, that he wants to transform our hearts, our minds, our thinking, our behaviors, the way we treat our spouses, the way we treat our kids, the way we approach work, the way we see missions. And we read that in God's word. But sometimes we become too prideful or stubborn, and our Bibles look like this, don't they? So that's my experience. And there's a saying that I heard, a person with experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. And I have an experience. The Bible came alive for me in college. I became a Christian at a certain point, and I really wasn't a student. The only book that I read was about Terry Bradshaw, Bo Jackson, and The Hobbit. And that's all I read. Then I went to college, and then I had this experience. I had this experience where the Word of God transformed me. There was a pastor that was teaching on the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 12:5. Jeremiah was complaining to God, and God comes down and gives him this answer. He says, Jeremiah, if you've raced with men on foot and they've worn you out, how can you compete with the horses? And I wanted to become a horse, a stallion of faith. I wanted to run in such a way that I understood what it meant to live the Christian life. And that's the moment for me in college when God's word went from just an information historical book to this alive, transformative, spirit-filled revelation book that can help me every day. Because here's the thing. Once I understood that, I wanted to run with the horses. I wanted to be the best tool, the best person that God could use for ministry in any way he saw fit. And I learned that from hearing a passage of scripture read to me from Jeremiah 12:5. That was my experience. The word of God came alive. And I'm telling you now, I've never stopped being a student of the word of God. I don't do it because I like to read books. I like to read books. I don't do it because I want to understand things. I like to understand, right? But I do it because I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with who God is. I want to learn who he is in order to become all I can be. And that it starts with a teachable, humble attitude. And if we just say we know it all, it's going to be a stumbling block to your growth and development along the way. And so that moment for me, when I understood God's word and it came alive, it became this transformative thing for me. I started seeing the book, this word of God, this truth differently. Can you remember that moment in your life this morning when the word of God became alive for you? That passage that might have been read, or that story, or the moment where you were, or like Martin Luther underneath a tree where his word came alive reading Romans 8. There's these moments all along Christian saints where that the word of God came alive and the Spirit began to transform them and reveal himself to us. So maybe today, maybe if you hadn't had that moment yet, maybe today is your moment. And maybe if you had that moment, I'm here to remind you what that was like. Go back to that. When you feel like you can't trust God or you don't understand what the Bible says, here's the best thing to do is not go to the internet and YouTube and see what all these YouTube, Facebook preachers. That's nonsense. Go back to the source itself. Go back to the Word of God and see what he has to say. I want to do like an overview, and I know you're like, okay, but stick with me here. What is the Bible? What is the Bible about? The Bible is made up of 66 total books. 66 total books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament books, about 8 genres or styles, roughly, you could say. God used over 40 authors, over a period of about 1,500 years to write his truth, to write his word, and he used people that were fishermen, shepherds, and even kings to write his word and using the Holy Spirit. And it was divinely inspired for God's people over time, this love letter that was written to us. So it's this amazing, living, active book that is available to us. There's a quote by a guy named St. Augustine. He was an ancient church father, a leader of the ancient church back then. He was talking of the Bible, and he said this, and I love this quote. The new, speaking of the New Testament, the new is in the old concealed. If you could put that slide up there. The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. Let me say that again. The new is in the old concealed. So we're in the Old Testament. It has a concealed, or kind of, you think of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and all these prophecies that are speaking of Jesus, or even Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that have this proto-evangelion, which is speaking of Jesus to come. It's concealed in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, everything they talked about in the old is revealed in and through Jesus. And so Augustine has this amazing quote for us to think about the Bible in such a way. It's a unified story from Genesis to Revelation that points to Jesus. And it's there to encourage us and inspire us and to change us to become women and men that walk strong and courageously in the faith. There's this chart, if you could put that picture up. It's coming. Here it comes. There's this chart of this on this picture. Right here in the middle, you can see a line coming down. And on this side is Genesis. All the way to that side is Revelation. And you can see all these concealed and revealed, how all these different arcs point, and they're making reference to one another. This is an image of the Bible. How can you say that God's word is not inspired or God-breathed? I don't know how you could do that. This shows that all these different connections that the word of God has for us. You're like, so what? But listen to this. There's over 63,779 connections of people, phrases, places, prophecies, truths, all these different things that are connected and interwoven. One man or somebody in history just can't write this. This is a divinely inspired word of God. Do you see that? When I saw this picture, I'm like, I got to show this. Pastor John and I were preparing the notes for this. We were looking. He's like, we got to put this up. So right in the middle, you can kind of see how all these things are connecting. That this is a God-breathed book. This isn't just made up by a bunch of scholars. This is a God-breathed book that can transform your life. And you have to have that perspective shift in your life to see that the Holy Spirit wants to move you from information to Revelation. It's the first hyperlinked book that we can speak of. We speak of the birth of Jesus. We can see all these prophecies that talk about Isaiah, that he was speaking of Jesus to come, right? And so we have this understanding that this Bible has it's living and active. And so to unpack it and package it any other way than that it is his word is not, it's just historical in and of itself. It's wrong. That it's meant to transform you. And so this, I just want to give you just a couple things that will help you. Charles Spurgeon said this: the Bible does not need to be defended. Just as a lion does not need to be defended, you just let him loose and he will defend himself. And so the people say that Scripture is that great anvil of truth that all these other philosophies in the world will break upon, because it is God's word that has stood the test of time. And so when you ask the question, can the word of God be trusted? Can I stand on God's word? This is just an image of that truth, that inspiration that we have, this unified story that leads to Jesus, this unified story that God gives to you and I this morning that wants to change the way. Now listen, as this was developed over time, there's an element of mystery to the way things are written. Sometimes you read Scripture and you're like, what is that all about? You know, you read the book of Revelation, you're like, whoa, what's going on there? You know, sometimes there's mystery there. But here's the thing, when you don't completely understand, there's still this element of mystery. Why? Because that mystery leads us to take a step of faith, take that step of faith on who God is. And so as we do that, it allows us to understand who God is, his ways through Scripture. What's your view of Scripture this morning? There's a biblical word called biblia or canon, which just simply means books. And it is the rule or standard or measurement by which God has for his people. And so we have this book as the rule and standard of measurement for our lives. It's not your truth, and I'm going to speak my truth. This is God's truth. This is the truth that should be the rule and measurement of your life. Not your truth. Not what you see on YouTube or Facebook or whatever it is. But we go to God's word for the truth. It's that rule and standard for our lives. And so we have this canon, is this measure for our lives. I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. When I try to do things on my own, Melanie will tell you, I mess it up. I mess it up royally. So I need God's word in my life. I need God's word in my life. Okay, what does it say about forgiveness? Forgive quickly with your spouse, right? Go to your spouse, forgive. So I have to do that. So I go to God's word when I don't know what to do, when I don't know what to believe. The Bible says, be still, know that I'm God. I can go back to his word and know what it says. So when I'm stuck in my faith and I'm spinning my wheels, I'm upside down, I'm whatever situation it is, you don't know what to do, you go back to that standard. You go back to that measurement of faith for your life that God has for you. You're not by yourself. He has given us this love letter to transform your life. But you've got to have a perspective shift. It's more than just a historical document. It's more than those weird documentaries you see on TV. It's more than that. It's a living, active word, as the Bible says. There's some questions that I hear as a pastor. Because I was raised that way, I just don't know if I understand the Bible that way. I was raised in a house that went to church, but then they acted differently. That's an answer that's insufficient, right? It appeals to ignorance. It only can go so far. How about this one? Another kind of question or answer that comes up. Because I tried it and it worked for me. I tried it, and it didn't work for me. And that's insufficient, too, because it's an appeal to subjectivity. Because it didn't work for you doesn't mean it doesn't work for everybody else. Maybe you moved away from God's word. Maybe you moved away from his truth. And so how about this? How about a solid response to those kind of questions that we might have would be this. Because the Bible, God's word, is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses, in other words, someone that was there. You ever hear play the telephone game when you were a kid? And you say the one phrase, and by the time it gets to the other side, it's all jacked up and not even close to what was going on. These were eyewitnesses that were there, that walked with Jesus, and they're giving their accounts to that. And so there's this, it's during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses within the Bible. And so we say, can I trust the Bible? Yes, you can. You can trust the Bible. There's a lot of people that will say, through history, well, it's inaccurate. It's just kind of a historical document. Well, if you take the validity of these ancient texts and you take the time gap from when it was originally written to that first time it was written and the time gap of when the other ones were collected, you have people like Homer, not the Simpsons, but the Iliad and the Odyssey, right? who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. There's a time gap from when it was originally written of 400 years. And the number of manuscripts that they have remaining is 1,757. Does that sound like that's trustworthy? But what do people do? Western civilizations in our colleges and universities, we teach the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's good stuff, but it's not something to base your life off. Plato, I was a philosophy major at Geneva. I studied this, the Allegory of the Cave, pretty cool. But his original writings, the time gap from that original time was 1,300 years until the other one was completed. 1,300 years, and we have no problem basing our life on philosophy, do we? The number of manuscripts that are available from the original, 210. Now get ready for this. This is fun. You guys ready? I'm ready. Okay. The Greek New Testament, okay? That Greek New Testament, from the time it was written from the original, 40 years. So from the time those original documents are written in the New Testament, only 40-year time gap elapsed from those original eyewitnesses. Guess how many manuscripts are available today? 5,800 manuscripts, and they're continuing to deal more. They're continuing to find more and more in that Mediterranean basin to prove the validity and truth of Scripture. That's more than Homer, that's more than Plato, that's more than the Caesars, whatever you have. And so there's continued arguments over time, over and over again, that the Bible, God's Word, can be trusted. There it is. Look at that. The Greek New Testament right at the bottom. Look how it holds up. It's strong. That's a strong foundation that we can believe in. So I don't know if that helps you. I hope it does. I hope it's more than just information. I hope this is revelation to you that God's Word, God's book, His truth has stood the test of time. This is just another example of that. And so we can see that this is an amazing accuracy to the way in which God's truth was written, that it can change your life in the here and now. So here's our big idea. That was a long time to get to the big idea. But the big idea for us this morning is this, that the Bible has the power to transform lives. The Bible has power to transform lives because it is inspired, it is profitable, and it is dependable. It can transform you because it is inspired. And I just gave you all these different kind of like Bible nerd things, and I hope that was okay this morning. I love this stuff, but I hope you got that, but you saw it was more than that. But it is God's inspired word for us in our lives. It says this in 2 Timothy. Here we are. This is our scripture passage today. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. In verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we see that this idea might say differently in your translation, but theopneustos means God-breathed. God-breathed. It's God-breathed. God's inspiration, as you could see from those charts and those graphs, those are just a way. But it's a way that God has inspired his work through those 40-plus authors over 1,500-plus years of time and then through to today that is an inspired word that we can see. Prior to this passage, this God-breathed doesn't show up anywhere in Scripture but here. And so it's this term that Paul, the Apostle Paul, made up or coined to help us understand that the Bible can be trusted, that it's alive and active for you and I. It drives home the divine origin and the authority of Scripture. And so in the time, the original time in the early church, God wanted his people to understand because there was a lot of different teachings going on that were causing people to get a little bit of the truth, but also sprinkle in some other stuff. It sounds a lot like today. And so Paul was like, no, it's God's inspired word. And so when you hear different things, I want to encourage you, when you don't know what to believe or you don't know what to hear, don't go to YouTube first. Don't go to Facebook. Go back to the word of God. Amen. Can we do that? So God's word is inspired. God's word is inspired. God's word is used to help us understand his truth, that Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life, that God is the epitome and definition of truth, guiding all these writers through history, and that he's promised our Holy Spirit as the truth in our lives. There's biblical things for us to understand. God's word is inspired because why? God's word pierces our heart. Can you remember that first time when you heard a passage read to you or a sermon preached where it pierced your heart? In the book of Acts 2 through 37, it says this, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, where should we do? What should we do? In other words, that God's word pierced their heart. There have been many times in my ministry career or even in my own faith journey, where God has just pierced me and knocked me off my high horse, where I thought I had arrived, and he just knocked me down and said, you got some work to do. I want you to learn this. And so God's word, it pierces our heart. Can you think of that time where it pierced your heart? When you're going through tough times, just pray, like, God, would you pierce my heart with your truth? Would you help me? Just pray, God, pierce my heart so I may know what you have for my life. God's word is also this. It's inspired because it reveals what's in the heart. It reveals what's in the heart. As we hold up the scriptures and we look at our own life, as we did before communion, we kind of did this time of confession and prayer that we prepared our hearts before we took the communion together. But God's word does that. It reveals what's broken inside of us. It shows where we fall short, that we're in need of a Savior. We're in need of a forgiver and leader. We need all of these things. And so that's what Scripture does, that it reveals what's in your heart. What's in your heart this morning that maybe God wants you to reveal to you, that he wants you to surrender and yield to him so that he could help you be the man and woman you're called to be? And maybe you need to go to Scripture and say, God, what do you have for me? I want to encourage you, when you read God's word, when you open it up, pray before you even open up. Just pray, God, would you just reveal? Would your Holy Spirit reveal your truth to me? Would you pierce my heart? Would you reveal those things that cause me not to understand or to walk in your ways? So God's word is inspired because it pierces the heart and reveals what is in the heart. The second point is this, is that God's word is profitable. It's profitable. Do I mean it's financially lucrative? Maybe. But that's not really what it kind of the original word means. But it's profitable because it does this. It's useful for teaching. Teaches us about how we're to live our lives. It's rebuking. Sometimes we need to be put in our place. We do. We think we are the bee's knees or the one that sits on the throne. And we need to kind of put in our place. Scripture allows us to do that. God uses his word. Correcting. Okay, he doesn't just rebuke us, but he also takes us up. He wants us to move from mediocrity into his greatness. He wants us to be in a correcting type of, and then the training in righteousness. Training in righteousness to live in his ways and not our ways. So as we're reading God's word, that's what we're looking here. It's profitable to help us continue in our faith. So God's word does this. As we're reading this, what does God's word do? But here's the thing. It helps you understand how to have a right belief or a foundation of belief. There's so many different philosophies out there and so many different worldviews that sound good and sound enticing, and they make tickle your ears, but they lead to death, frankly, right? They lead you away from God. They lead you away from the cross. But here we have God's word is profitable because it helps you understand the right belief. It gives you the firm foundation. I know for me, there were many times where I just thought, you know, I didn't want anything to do with God's word. I didn't want anything to do with ministry. I didn't want anything to do with the church. I didn't want to. It was weird. But then over time, it was corrected in me that God said, no, I'm gonna use you. You're gonna become a pastor. But it wasn't until I yielded my life that God, he just kind of just molded me and shaped me. But can you think of a time in your life where God used his word, or where that moment, I don't know, maybe it was at a church service or a camp, where he helped you have a different belief, where you entered in one way thinking, but you exited coming out with a different perspective. That's what God's word does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It helps shape your belief. It gives you that firm foundation. And then it gives you this behavior, how we're to act, how we're to lead our lives and live out loud before an audience of one. As we read in the pages of Scripture, you could see the life of the Apostle Paul. We just take that. Before that, he was Saul. And you could see how he lived. He was a guy that was trained up, had the great education, was very a learned man. He had studied under the best of the best of the Pharisees. But he was a persecutor of Christians. And it wasn't until he got an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with God, that he began to live and have right behavior. He was even at the stoning of Stephen, they say, one of the first Christian martyrs. And so until God got into his life, he didn't have a right behavior. Until God got in my life, I didn't have right behavior either. And so Scripture allows us to do that and shows us how we should live. I don't know how you're living today, or maybe you're going through something that you're dealing with, a habit, a lifestyle, a relationship. Go to the pages of Scripture, because I know God wants to help correct you. He wants to convict you, but he wants to help you to walk in his ways. I don't know what that is for you this morning, but he wants to establish in your life a way to live and think on a biblical foundation. And then finally, God's word is Dependable. Say dependable. God's word is dependable because it brings you to maturity. It brings you to maturity. There are a lot of Christians that are in this room, and there's a lot of Christians that are in the church universal that are at the church, but they're not growing, they're not maturing. They're just stuck as kind of infants and not growing. Why? Because they're not into God's word and they're not teachable. And so God's word is dependable. It brings us to maturity. And a mature Christian is one that's growing. A mature Christian is going to be one that's in his word, that is doing life with other people and serving his church, but it is doing in terms of a sense of maturity, biblical maturity, emotional intelligence, those things. That's what the Bible does. It leads you to that. It leads you from maturity, from blaming other people. It leads you to stop blaming God like Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 12:5. I love this quote, another one by Spurgeon, if you will. A Bible that's falling apart, like cover all these pages. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone's life that is not. I love that quote. Why? Because that Bible has been read. That Bible has been invested in. Have you ever seen somebody? My grandmother's Bible was like that. It had duct tape all over it. It had all kinds of books and bookmarkers and all kinds of stuff. But she knew her word. She knew that. And it matched her life. So I pray that your Bible is worn out. I pray that your Bible app has a lot of badges and highlights. But that means you're going in there and understanding that God is calling you to maturity. This morning, church, I'm telling you this, that God is calling us to step up into maturity. To stop saying, I'm not a reader. I don't like to study God's word. Well, we live in a time that we have apps that read to us in our car over Bluetooth. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for you not to be a lifelong student of God's word. Are you a student of God's word this morning? Are you growing in maturity? Are you just being stagnant? And God wants to convict us of that. He wants us to move us from that kind of like child kind of stunted growth, but more into growing up in maturity and more to like him. He wants to equip you for ministry. As you mature and grow in your faith, you're gonna want to serve him. He's gonna equip you from all these different gifts. Like Cy up here for the first time this morning, right? That was amazing to have him up here. That he's equipped for ministry. God wants to use you too. But you have to get to that point of maturity where you're dealing with the things in your life, right? That those aren't going to be stumbling blocks as you lead with other people. God wants you to have a mature life, a mature approach to walking with him. We have coming up connection groups. September 8th. We have men's and women's ministry nights. They're times for us to come together to study God's word, to think about who God is, to think about how we should live and how we should serve others. It's calling us to maturity. And I encourage you to take part in these connection groups this fall. Don't just sit back and go, I'm not a student. I don't like to read. I don't have time. Find the time. Think about all that Christ did. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I want to challenge you. Think about all that Jesus did on the cross. Find the time. Find the time to get into his word. Here's my challenges to you this morning. That as we read scripture, it equips my life and it can be trusted. If you're going through stuff right now, if you're just thinking, how can I study? It equips your life. If you get into God's word, it's going to equip you for whatever you're doing with. And it's something that you can be trusted. You can stand upon it. It's the firm foundation. The other one is this. I want you to stop making excuses. Read your Bible. Get into your word. Become lifelong students. I'm not asking you to go to seminary. I'm not asking you to become Bible scholars. But what I am asking you to do is to fall in love with God's word. Fall in love with God's word because of who God is, because of the Holy Spirit illuminating you to revelation and understanding who he is and because of what Jesus did. So stop making excuses. Read that Bible. And then once you read the Bible, yield to it. Yield your life to it. So if it's something you're dealing with, some sin you're dealing with, yield to that. Make it a daily discipline in your life, in your daily life. You know, I try every single day to get into my Bible, to start my day. As I get up, I have my coffee. Sometimes Mel and I are in the same room. She's on one side, I'm on the other. And I'm reading my stuff and she's reading hers. But I feel off when I don't do that. I need to have that. It's kind of, that's my centering, aligning with God's word. But I want you to yield to God's Bible, his truth. Make it a discipline in your life. If you don't have that discipline, this is a good time to start. This is way more than New Year's resolutions. This is better than that. This is something that's going to change you if you get that discipline in your life and become a lifelong student of God's word. Watch what happens. Watch what happens, what God will do in your life. When you become humble and hungry and you fall in love with God's word more and more. It's important for us to be able to read God's word and translate it with our lives and our actions and our words. You know, people are going to see, I mean, all that information stuff and Bible nerd stuff is great, and I love it. Bible Project's a great ministry resource. I love all that stuff. But as you read God's word, it's got to be able to be lived out through your life so people can relate to you. I went to seminary, and there were people that were there that I was like, man, I worry about you, because as you graduate, you're going to be such a Bible nerd that people won't be able to relate. You got to be able to be relatable and teachable and hungry and winsome to other people so they can read Jesus in your life. Amen. So that's my hope and challenge to you this morning. Will you stand as I read this passage? This is out of 2 Peter 1:16. And it's speaking on Scripture. You can close your eyes. And I'm just challenging you. My challenge is for you to become a lifelong student of Scripture, that you would fall more and more in love with it, that the Bible can be trusted. And here's a great Scripture to end on. 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard voices, this saying that this came from heaven when we were with Him on that sacred mountain. Verse 19. We will also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through human spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God's word can be trusted. It is reliable. It's something we can put our faith in as we grow and we struggle and we don't know what to do. We go back to Scripture. You can learn from it. You can become teachable, and that's what God has for you this morning. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that in this time in history where there's all kinds of information available at our fingertips, we're almost gluttons of information. Lord, help us to be disciplined enough, mature believers, that we know that Your word is inspired, that it's profitable for our lives, that it's dependable. But Lord, help us to fall more and more in love. Lord, forgive us that we haven't become students of Your word. Lord, I just pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would fall fresh upon this church, that we would become students of Your word, that we would know what Your word says. Lord, that we'd be transformed, that we wouldn't just get information, but we'd have revelation from Your Holy Spirit that would transform our lives, and we can transform our communities and our families and everywhere we go in the mission field. And so, Father, I just pray that right now. So as we go, there might be some brother or sister here that is just struggling. May they turn to Your word to find You. I pray for that individual that is walking long, many years. I pray that they would be encouraged and see something in Your word for the first time, and it just jumps to them. And they've read it many, many other times, but for this time, it jumps to them. So, Father, may Your word that is living and active pierce our hearts and change our mindsets. I pray that You bless us as we go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated.